Hello and welcome to the Permabyte for Monday, May 5th, 2014, presented by the Permaculture Podcast with Scott Mann. Today's episode continues the exploration of David Holmgren's 12 Principles of Permaculture and Getting Back to Basics. Today we'll cover Principle 2, Catch and Store Energy. This episode is sponsored by the Finger Lakes Permaculture Institute. You're invited to join them this year for their annual Permaculture Design Certificate course. It will be offered from July 25th through August 10th, 2014 at an off-grid permaculture learning community in the beautiful Finger Lakes region of New York. There you'll be able to immerse yourself in 15 days of instruction by qualified, practicing permaculture teachers at real permaculture sites. Your instructors over those 15 days will be Michael Burns, Rafter Sass Ferguson, Steve Gabriel, and Karin Olsen Ramanujan. They'll lead you through 84 hours of instruction and a rigorous design practicum that will prepare you to design your own landscape, homes, and other projects. You can learn more, watch videos, and follow their blog at fingerlakespermaculture.org. If you'd like to find out more about several of the instructors, Rafter Sass Ferguson, Steve Gabriel, and Karin Olsen Ramanujan are past guests for the show, and you'll find links to those interviews in the announcement. You can go back, listen, and get to know them a little bit before going and taking the course. To help you with that course, let's sit down and talk a little bit about David Holmgren's Catch and Store Energy. For me, the second principle relates very well with the third, Obtain a Yield, which we'll be covering next week. And they both serve as a reminder that we need to build up a surplus from the actions that we're doing and save some for later use. Specifically with Principle 2, if you haven't read it, a really good companion piece to this idea is Howard T. Odom's Environment, Power, and Society. Many of the ideas that you'll read in Odom's book relate to the way that David Holmgren lays out his ideas within his own book, Permaculture, Principles and Pathways Beyond Sustainability. This principle is also, for me, part of where we begin designing for disasters and thinking long-term through time. Just as we might put away some extra food when winter comes, that we also need to build soil, create biodiversity, plant our orchards now, even though we may never eat from them, so that they are there in 20, 50, or 100 years for future generations. Though I don't know if he would share this sentiment, if you go and listen to Matt Winter's The Gift, which is a narrative of permaculture made manifest, you'll hear that long-term thought process, that development to benefit us now and those to come. And that's part of storing energy for me, that it's not just in the moment. It's like having batteries in a drawer, so that when a light goes out and you go to flip on a flashlight, that it produces light, but that if it doesn't, you have another resource to fall back on. And Holmgren walks us through many of those ideas in his book, the different sources of energy, from solar to wind to biomass to runoff water, ways that we can store energy in our landscape by talking about how nature catches and stores energy, how we can store water in our landscape. And this is something that many of my past guests have spoken about, building soil, storing carbon, capturing it, the creation of things like biochar. So for this principle, I'm going to include a number of past episodes that I think speak very well to Principle 2 as a way for you to explore this idea in more depth with other voices. Because I know, for one thing, I'm not particularly well-versed in water storage because I live on a stream. The most that I've thought about doing here where I am is perhaps a vernal pool. And there are others who talk more about building soil as a way to store water. And we have technologies such as biochar that we can explore as a way to store nutrients in the landscape by capturing different minerals and chemicals in those very fine pores of that carbon, which we can also store then, and in turn reduce the amount of carbon that's released in the atmosphere. And though I have a preference to use hand tools in the work that I do, taking out a wheelbarrow and a shovel to move mulch rather than bringing in a skid steer loader, or to dig small trenches by hand rather than with an excavator. We live in a time now that is a peak, potentially, in our ability to use fossilized liquid sunlight in the form of gasoline and other petrochemicals. And thinking back to the idea that Larry Santoyo said, which I know, I repeat often, but I really like it, that it's important to make our handprint bigger than our footprint. That in these times now, when we have these opportunities, I can see using earth-moving equipment to rebuild our natural capital, to take advantage in the short term of certain things, as long as they're balanced by the long-term view of what the return is going to be. That we really are able to store something in the land around us for the energy that's expended. But even if you're not engaged in using earth-moving equipment for something like that, you can also work on just building the organic matter in soil to help create humus. I just posted some pictures before I recorded this on Facebook of some mushroom logs that I worked on plugging this weekend. We'll be releasing some videos for later. And the way that I look at that is a way to turn woody material, that lignin and cellulose in those structures, into food, and how we can use that as a benefit for ourselves in the short term, but also how that breaks down that wood that we can then return as duff to the soil surface or incorporate into a garden bed after it's no longer producing mushrooms. And with that, how the choices that we make in figuring out how to catch and store energy, that it's a compromise between the here and now and the long term, between woody plants, animals, herbaceous plants, and what are most beneficial to the landscape that we're in. And that by practicing permaculture, learning, experiencing, becoming good at it, that we can create systems that are not necessarily 100% self-maintaining, but have a degree of it, that allow us an ability to step back from them, that gain value over time. There's a reference that Ben Falk makes in his book, The Resilient Farm and Homestead, about the value of investing in natural capital, that we might spend $20 on an apple tree and then a few hours a year maintaining it, but what the returns are from that tree over its lifetime and the amount of food that it gives us. That we're investing our time and our energy now for a return in surplus. And when we look at things like tools and buildings and other things that we as a species have wrought and have built, the energy that's embodied in those and how we can make choices that minimize the amount of energy invested in a particular type of product by bringing things into our lives that are repairable or are known to have a long, useful lifespan. Here I think about something just as simple as a quality hoe and how I've had several break and I'm looking for a good source for a high quality one that has a removable metal head that I could easily put on a shaft that I could cut a coppiced woodlot and turn into a handle to attach to that head should it wear out, but that could be something that I could pass down to my children and even my grandchildren. Though I haven't spoken about it much on the air, I'm a hunter. And there's a rifle that's been in my family for a number of years that I've used for small game. I won't say that I'm very successful. My father was always a much better shot than I was, and by stories of my grandfather, he was even better than my father. But there's a durable tool that has lasted for 3 generations, and that can be passed on to a 4th generation, and I can teach my daughter or my son, if either of them desire, how to shoot and how to hunt. And even more personally, that my father repaired the stock on this rifle when he was in high school. So all the wood was made by my father's hands. And now every time that I pick that up, I have a reminder of that. And I'd like to go sometime and take a bow making class when my children are older with some of my colleagues from Lancaster so that we can build bows together as a community, but that also my children and I have that shared experience. So that should they ever need a tool like that, they know how to build it. From those tools, I look at our buildings. My wife and I, as I've mentioned before, are undergoing some home renovations because we decided to stay where we are. I took some of those thoughts that Bob Tice spoke about in not inflicting ourselves on some piece of unspoiled land that doesn't need us, and not going and having something else built, but all the energy that are in buildings around us that are abandoned or condemned or just not in the best shape, that we could go into and use the energy that's already been placed there in the wood that was grown and the labor that constructed that building, and then we can renovate it, make changes that make it more durable so that it can last longer, and that we can count that lifespan not in years, but in decades or even centuries by making an investment now. I can't even joke that I know what the future holds, but by doing what we can now with a long view, balanced within the ideas of the ethics and our personal responsibility from the prime directive as given by Mollison, provide us an opportunity to design and ensure that we have everything that we need, not just for today or tomorrow, but for those months and years and generations yet to come. Thank you for joining me for this exploration of David Holmgren's second principle of permaculture, catch and store energy. I will join you again on Wednesday for another long format interview, and then be back on Friday, May 9th, for the next PermaByte, which will be about this idea that's emerging for a different, accessible permaculture design course model. So I'll talk to you again soon. In the meantime, take care of the earth, yourself, and each other.